Today's reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. Unity and maturity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son, of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of the teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of the people and in the deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4, which was read earlier, but we're actually going to be looking at just two verses from that chapter, and they come in verse 9 and verse 10. Paul says, What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Maybe not a classic Christmas text, but you'll see why I've chosen that soon. At Christmas, we all have our family routines, don't we? Things maybe in our families or with our friends that we tend to repeat each year. And you've probably got some. And after a while, you start to realise not everyone does it that way. Not everyone has Christmas the same way. And that's quite a shock, actually, when you realise that at times. And there's some things I've realised that we do in our family which people find strange. One of them is in the morning, we have croissants with salmon and egg, scrambled egg on top. Does anyone else do that? No, no one here does. It always just amazes me. No one does that. It's such a good way to start Christmas Day. And one of the ways I end Christmas Day is with Christmas pudding. Now, everyone does that, don't they? But I wonder what you do it with. Do you do it with cream, maybe? Cream or ice cream? That's common, isn't it? Does anyone do it with milk? Ah, guys, you're missing out, honestly. You're missing out. That is so good, milk. People go, milk, what are you doing? That's so good. So we become familiar, don't we, with our routines. And we think that they are normal, but they're not. And that's often what happens when we become familiar with things. We forget how unique they are. In my case, how special they are. We forget them, don't we? We We become over-familiar. And that's not really much of a problem with trivial things such as Christmas pudding or breakfast. But when that happens to really important things, then that's a problem. When there is something really important, vital for us, and we become over-familiar with it, that's not a place we want to be. And it's my concern this morning that we do that with the Christmas message. It's such a wonderful message, and it's such an earthy message, isn't it, the Christmas story? God with us on earth. Jesus born to a woman. The Son of God became a man. He was found in a manger in Bethlehem. He grew up as a boy. Such an earthy story. It's such an incredible story. And we tell it every year at Christmas. But I worry sometimes that as we keep telling ourselves these things, as we remind ourselves of these things, we don't appreciate how staggering it is. God with us. It is God with us. Sometimes you watch a nativity play and I just feel like, you know how a director just yells, cut! Sometimes I want to do that, cut! Guys, do we realize this is God with us? The Son of God descended. It's incredible news. It's so hard for us to take it in. And maybe we've become over-familiar with it. When we become over-familiar with something, we forget the beauty of it. We lose the beauty of it and the awe of it. And that's really not good when it comes to something like the message of Christmas. Because Christmas tells us, God with us. We need to know that. We need to know that God is with us, don't we? In the things that we go through, whether it's a cancer scare or someone is in really ill health, they need to know that God is with them. When you feel alone and that no one is with you, you need to know that God is with you. And that's what Christmas tells us. So I want you to become reacquainted with this truth of God with us. And I'm going to do that by maybe defamiliarizing you a little bit with what happens at Christmas, because we're going to see the story of God coming to earth to be with us in the light of his departure. At Christmas, we celebrate God descending in the person of Jesus. Today, I want to look at him ascending. And how does that help us to understand the Christmas message? I hope that it will give you a sense of wonder again about who Jesus is to you. That's what our verse is looking at. What does he ascended mean, verse 9, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who ascended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. He ascended higher than all the heavens. His descent is the sign of God with us, but the ascent is the sign of God above us. Jesus is God above us. In the first part of this sermon, I'm going to help us to gaze at that. God above us. And then in the second half, we're going to look at, actually, my argument is that when we see him as God above us, we'll then be able to see truly how he is with us. That's what we're going to be doing, to look at God above us and then to understand how he is with us. Now, if you want to inject a bit of wonder into your life, you merely need to look above, isn't it? When you look above at the skies and in space, it's incredible wonder of our universe. And someone who gets this is Brian Cox. And he's done a documentary recently called Universe. And I want to read to you the introductory words to this documentary, which really gripped me. I won't be able to do it in quite the voice he has, but I'll try. This is how he introduces the documentary. Our universe is a place of infinite variety. 2 trillion galaxies, billions and billions of stars, and countless planets. worlds beyond imagination. The universe is so vast, so incomprehensible, so terrifying, that I think it is quite natural for us to choose to live out our lives completely oblivious to it. Perhaps that's why there's a sense of relief that rises with the dawn. The brightening sky hides the stars and the questions that they pose. How did the universe come to be? Why are we here? And how will it end? We have to face these questions if ever we're going to acquire a truly deep understanding of ourselves. See, what Brian Cox gets in this documentary is that if we really know ourselves deeply, we need to ask questions that are vast. We need to understand the greatness of our universe. And Paul would absolutely agree with that. But according to Paul, Brian Cox does not go high enough. Does not go high enough. There is one, Paul says, who has ascended high above the heavens. What a glorious truth. What does Paul mean when he says above the heavens? Well, in the Bible, we see the heavens often are used to describe the sky that we see in our own world. And sometimes the heavens are used to describe the starry place where all the stars are. They marvel at the heavens above. But Paul also speaks of another heaven. And I think this is what he's getting at in our verse when he says in verse 10 that he ascended higher than all the heavens. There is a heaven above all these, but it is not a physical place. And he speaks of this in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2, speaking of a man he knew, and this is a rhetorical device. We know Paul is actually talking about himself when he says this. He says this: I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. There is this other realm, this heavenly realm, and that's where Jesus has ascended to. And Paul, when he went there, he wasn't sure whether it was in the body or out of the body. He felt maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. He didn't know. But we do know that when Jesus ascended there, he went there as an embodied human being. When we see the stories in the Gospels of Jesus ascending, it's not like he kind of just disintegrates into a spirit or leaves his body on earth. They take great pains to show that when he ascended with a body and was taken out of their sight. He was taken up into heaven. So there's an incredible awe and wonder about this place. When Paul speaks of what he heard there, he said he heard inexpressible things. Things that man is not permitted to tell. Perhaps this is what Stephen saw when he was killed for telling the truth. As we read in Acts, we see Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Who is Jesus to you right now? Who is he to you right now? He's not right now a boy or a baby in a manger. He is not right now vulnerable, exposed in the hands of men. He's not. He's God above us. He's God above us, mighty, seated on his throne in all glory and majesty and wonder. All power belongs to him. He's ascended. It's incredible truth. He's far above us, infinitely powerful. Often we lose sight of this sometimes, don't we? The Christmas story shows us Jesus meek and vulnerable, low in the world. But Friends, don't forget, that's not what he is to you right now, in this moment. Where is Jesus? He's in the heavenly places. He's been enthroned. It's incredible truths. This ought to give us a sense of reverence when we speak about Jesus. He ascended far above the heavens. He alone deserves our worship. He's God above us. It's just always, sometimes I stop myself, and I'd encourage you to do this. Sometimes I stop myself, either when I'm speaking about Jesus or when I'm praying, and I just tell myself, Ben, do you realize who you're speaking to? It's God above us. Jesus. We ought to stand in awe of him. So God above us, that's to give us some wonder, some awe about who he is. But you might be saying, well, Ben, this seems to go the opposite of the Christmas message. What you're saying right now does not feel like this is one who is God with us. It feels like it is God far from us. And you said at the beginning, Ben, that if we see this, we'll see how he is with us. But it just seems like he is far from us. And some of you might say, yeah, this is the problem I have with Christianity. It gives me a God who I just can't relate to, who feels far. God feels distant, and therefore I can't believe in him. But his distance is not the conclusion that Paul draws in our passage. What does he say? Look down at verse 10. It says this, he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens, in order to fill the whole universe. I want you to especially dwell on that. Why did he do this? Why did he descend? Why did he ascend? It was so that he would fill the whole universe. Or in the ESV, it says that he may fill all things. That he may fill all things. What does this mean? And how does it tell us that God is with us? Well, it tells us it in two ways. And we're just going to look at these briefly as we draw to a close. How is God with us? How does God above us show us God with us? Firstly, it means that he is God everywhere with us. He fills all things. Now that he's descended to the lower regions, to the earth, and gone far above the heavens, it means that he can be everywhere. He is not far from you. He is with you. He is everywhere you go. You cannot escape his presence. He is everywhere. I love what the way one theologian, John Webster, put this, because I think it is true that we often struggle when we look at the ascension. We feel that it gives us a God who's very unlike the God of Christmas, who is with us, born on the earth. This is what John Webster says about the fact of the ascension and what it means for us. He says, Jesus now is present in the way that God is present. We have Jesus as we have God. Jesus' presence with us isn't natural but spiritual. To say this is not to say that he is not really present. We have to be very clear about this point. The spiritual character of his presence doesn't mean that his presence is something less real. Affirming that his presence is a spiritual reality has nothing to do with the idea that it's some kind of psychological mood. Spiritual doesn't mean less than objective. What is spiritual is not ethereal. It's that which has the reality of God, and therefore that which is ultimately real. Real in absolute abundance, gloriously and dazzlingly real. Jesus is here, friends. He is present among us. Even if you don't feel it, it's still true. It's a fact established by the fact that he fills all things. He has that power. He is with us always. But there's another way that he is with us. That gets at the spatial dimensions. You know, when Jesus was on earth, he couldn't be everywhere. He was bound by space and time. But now he can be everywhere. He fills all things. But I don't actually think that's the main point that Paul is pointing at when he says that he did this in order to fill all things. What does that mean, all things? That's actually a key word in the whole of the book of Ephesians. The main purpose of the book of Ephesians is that it is God's purpose in Christ to unite all things in him as the head. That Jesus would be the authority over everything, reigning as king. We see that in chapter 1, verse 10 of Ephesians. It says this, that this was the purpose of God in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And then look at what he says here in verse 22 of the same chapter. Chapter 1, verse 22 says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." This is what it's getting at here, is that he fills all things. It's not just a spatial truth, but it's one that has implications of authority. That as Lord ascended, he has authority in every place. It's a bit like maybe in your organization you have a governance structure. And you have one of those diagrams, don't you? And maybe you have different departments. Like in a hospital, you might have a lab and a physio department and all these other departments. And the lab, the head of the lab department has authority in the lab. But he can't go to the physio department and say, do this, do that, do that. But there is someone who can. It is the one who's at the head, the director or the CEO. And that's what we're looking at here with Jesus. As one who has ascended far above the heavens and is seated on the throne, he has authority over all things. And he fills all things with that authority. And if you look back at our passage in chapter 4 of Ephesians, you'll see that this is actually really what Paul is getting at in verse 7 and 8. Let me read to you verse 7 and 8. "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people." And then he goes on to the verse we've looked at. But what is Paul saying here is that Jesus is like a leader in a military, in the military. And in ancient times, the leader of the military would come back home into the city after his military conquest. And the captives that he's taken, the enemies that they've defeated, would be brought with him in his train. And then the leader would distribute the spoils of the victory to the city. So this is what the ascension is pointing at here, that Paul is getting at, is that on earth, Jesus descended in order to defeat our enemy, to triumph over them, and to bless us. And having achieved that by his death and his resurrection, he's conquered sin, he's conquered death, he's conquered the powers and authorities in the spiritual realm that cause division. He's conquered them. He's defeated them. And he has ascended on high with those he's defeated in his train. And from on high, from that place of ultimate authority, he is with us, his people, the church, and he gives us gifts. He gives us gifts. And in this way, he is with us, not just as God everywhere with us, but as God for us. The King, the Lord of all, is for us. And he does everything for us, for our good. In chapter 4, in particular, Paul is stressing that he gives gifts to us so that we would be one with one another. And this is another way that he's with us, is that he's with us as we are with one another. I see Jesus, my Lord, through you. It's beautiful truths of God with us. But we mustn't forget this when we come to the Christmas message. You see, the descent and the ascent of Christ should be held together. Should be held together. If we just look at the descent and him on earth, we will forget the wonder of who it is who is with us. It is this God who is with you. He's incredible. He's strong enough to carry you through whatever you are going through. It is this God who is with you. But when we look at the wonder of who he is and his strength, that he is Lord of all authority bows to him. When we look at that, we should remember that he humbled himself for our sakes, even to the point of death on a cross. He came to the lower earthly regions for us, so that we might, by the Holy Spirit, be with him where he is. And that's our glorious future. There's so many incredible, beautiful nuggets of truth for you, for your soul in this. He is above us, God above us. He is everywhere with us, and he is for us. Let's pray now and ask him to make this known to us. Our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, we do humble ourselves before you right now. We are so low, Lord, in comparison to you. You are mighty, you are great. You are sovereign. Lord, I pray that for each one of us who is here right now, Lord, as we have maybe a bit more time in this festive season to ourselves, time to reflect on things, I pray in our spirits we would know you as Lord. We would bow to you and recognize the authority that you have. I pray, Lord, for those, Lord, who may be here who don't know you. Lord, I pray. Lord, you have the absolute freedom to reveal yourself to them. And I pray, Lord, that if they would humble themselves, Lord, you would do that for them now. We praise you that you came to be with us. We praise you that you conquered death for us. You paid the penalty for our sins. You removed it on the cross. You rose again and you ascended into the heavenly places. And from there, you rule all things for us. Lord, help us to know that in this season. We ask for his great name's sake. Amen.